Devin and Morgana have been celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser. Men are more relationship-ready. And if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.
Well, hello. I'm Morgana. Here is my husband, Devin.
I'm just going to wave.
Yeah. Husband of, I think, 25 times now.
It's remarkable.
And Devin, you'll note that I'm wearing this.
Yes.
And you forgot exactly what it is.
Well, I want to keep it a surprise for our audience.
This was, if you loved me, you would have remembered that this was from our Bali wedding. One of my clients, because when we had our Bali wedding, it was, I think, my May 2016 retreat.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. And I brought Devin along because I just kept missing him so much. It's the only time he's gone to Bali with me. And we had a big wedding the first day of the retreat. And then I foolishly just put him on a plane and sent him home and focused on my retreat the rest of this day.
That was a good wedding.
It was a great wedding.
The hotel.
Srirati Cottages.
You can give them a plug, totally.
Yes.
They had literally tracked down traditional costumes, and I was wearing the headdress and culottes and this whole white thing, Arabian Nights, whole thing. It was actually really quite remarkable.
And my driver is, who's been my driver since, I think, 2013. I've led 10 of these retreats now, but he's a priest of his village. So he presided over our wedding. And the hotel gave us this beautiful wedding, and they were all there. So they're family to me. And it's on my mind because last night I booked rooms for my retreat in June of next year. I just had a feeling when I canceled my 2020 retreat, which was going to be, I think, in May this year. In February, it was clear what was going on. I just had a hunch that June would work. And now we're getting the news about the vaccines, and it actually looks like it's going to happen. So I booked my rooms for my Bali retreat. It's on my mind. And so I'm celebrating our love with this little infinity symbol that my husband can't remember.
Well, I have it in a sacred place.
Yes.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Because
I don't remember exactly where I placed it.
But it's very safe where it is.
It's very safe. And, I'm going to switch subjects.
Oh, and by the way, the hotel remembers you and says hi.
They were great. No, I will, before I was going to just change the subject into some flighty, irrelevant commentary.
Uh-huh.
They were terrific. It was a great location in Penistanen. Lots of great little restaurants, mm-hmm. away from sort of like the Ubud kind of cluster of people. And so this was just a really great location. And they were just very, very kind. And it was beautiful. And they had a temple right on the grounds, like a very traditional kind of own, in other words, with the open mouth dragon next to the closed mouth dragon. It was really,
well,
really
and that is just Bali. Is the tradition is everywhere, and it's like a home. Every home in Bali has its altar to its ancestors. I think I'm trying to remember which direction. I think the kitchen is in the south, and I think the ancestors are in the north, but Ian, I didn't go this year, so I forget. And so like a home, the resort has its temple to its ancestors in the correct direction. I don't remember the directions. I'm so embarrassed. I used to know this stuff.
So that's a great lead-in to my next observation,
yeah.
Which was, there's a picture of us First of all, the pictures, I always look weird, but I think that says more about me being and looking weird. But in one of the pictures, we are at the U.S. Open, dancing at the U.S. Open of West Coast Swing. And I always sort of marvel at that, because that is one of the few places that I can say without certainty, or with complete certainty, that I was the worst in the entire building in West Coast Swing, but somehow I ended up on the dance floor performing.
Performing for dancers all over the planet.
Like the best, most unbelievable dancers, and somehow there wasn't some sort of a criteria or...
Where there
just
was.
Like, literally,
we
it was
were
like
actually,
anybody. Like, do you know this dance? Get up and dance this
no,
dance.
No, we were specifically invited, and we were invited to dance in the front, even though you dragged us back.
I
didn't.
I
back.
Was going to be in the last row.
And if you ever watched the video,
you
can see us
video,
fighting.
We were actually fighting, because my wife needs to be in the front row, realize, like, you know, because I was
without any
the
qualification.
Worst.
No, you were not. You're better than you think you are.
No, this is the room full of the world's best dancers.
This is true. We are not in that caliber.
Not, yeah, no caliber.
But
this is almost
that is the joy of midlife, is making a mistake or not being good enough would have been soul crushing mortification when I was younger. And now.
Right.
Oh,
I still wanted to be, I felt it was actually important that we be sort of in the last row. And I remember us, dragging me, and then you somehow managed to dance out on the edge. So and then kept positioning yourself further and closer to the cameras, which is...
Dancing on the edge. That's like our love.
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah. It's so great. It's so great. Anyway, but that was a lot of fun. And so I sort of love that picture because I look very serious, because I realize that I'm dancing in front of all of these people. Why are we even here? And there wasn't anybody to give us a test prior to.
Because I'm just
to.
A girl who can't say no.
Well, that's it. Yeah, that's, no, you wanted to do it. So I knew I was, as soon as you were like, oh, I'm in, I knew it was like, oh, toast. And then there was a point where we were actually
and
in the middle
of
the dance.
And we did the flash mob.
That's right, we did the flash mob. And there was a point where while we were at the U.S. Open and we're dancing, and you were like so into it.
And no idea how bad I am.
Well, yeah, that's fine.
I didn't know enough.
But no, because I was the worst person in the room. So that the best, like the worst for you would have been second worst, mm-hmm. which I don't think that was the case. But here was the moment that I treasure.
Yeah.
There was a moment where we came out of a turn and we're facing each other. And I knew what was supposed to happen next. And I could see it in your eyes that you had a clue. Like we were just like six steps into this sort of first foray into this, you know, like a minute, 2 minute long mm-hmm. choreographed dance that we're also dancing with like 30 other people.
That's true. Yeah.
And I turned around and I saw it in your eyes.
That I was a blank.
Was like, oh, this is, yeah, there was like, who knows what was going to
and
happen.
And you know what happened? I followed.
Yes, you did.
I followed.
Because I reached out and grabbed
and
the correct hand. And
yeah.
then you were like,
oh, that's right.
That was it. And then shortly thereafter, that guy took the photograph as if we were professional dancers. So if you're looking at that picture, if you've seen that picture.
Don't be fooled.
Right. Don't be fooled. It's just, you know, smoke and mirrors and somebody with a really nice camera.
And we were actually pretty good.
High shutter speed. Now we are. We're getting a little
better. We took private lessons. By the way, private dance lessons, couples therapy. It's like, our steps are better and it's good for marriage too.
Yes, it is. So all of this is the crazy sexy part.
Oh, well, we've got more. We have guests.
We do.
I know you're going, oh, thank God, right about now. But the way I want to ease into that is, so if you've been watching a while, you know that I've been in the personal development world for decades. I've been a pioneer in relationship with money coaching. And I've coached thousands of people since 1996. Crazy. And I've noticed that the really big gurus in my industry of influencers, whether it's personal development or e-commerce or whatever, the you know, so-called thought leaders, have a really incredible track record of failed relationship, whether it's, you know, people, and this is not a secret, I'm going to name people, you know, and their, you know, their history is not a secret. So like Tony Robbins and John Gray and Jack Canfield, the partners that they created their empires with are not the people they're with now. And I do believe that a change of circumstance, even if it's a great change of circumstance, lots of money, lots of celebrity, winning the lottery, everything you ever wanted, can put huge stress on a relationship. I have a client whose life partner of many, many years split when she came into her eight-figure fortune. So we think, oh, that'll solve everything. And no, change creates challenge. So I'm looking at these big names, and I'm also looking at a lot of my friends and peers in this world, and their marriages have been falling apart, which is, you know, relationships I thought were really solid. And it's not everybody, but it's most of the people I know in my industry. And there's this one guy who is one of these influencers, you know, has a big audience, really successful as a coach and a teacher and a trainer and an author and an entrepreneur of like everything under the sun. If it's Tuesday, he must be opening a new business. And I love the way he loves his wife. And so I wanted to invite Steve Ulsher and his beautiful wife, Lena Bravo Ulsher, to talk with us tonight, because I'm frankly curious. Why are you still together? What do you know that has made this work for you? While so many of our friends.
So we should invite them on.
Let's come on in.
Let's bring them on.
Come on in. Long soliloquy.
You can just keep talking about us. It's okay.
Well, thanks for stopping in. That's all the time we have.
And scene. Gotta go.
And cut. So.
Good to see you guys.
Yeah, it's great to see you.
Good to see you.
And you're all close and cuddly and looking happy and well.
Yeah. True, true, true. You don't see the knife in the other hand right now. Sit up straight.
Strangling him. He likes it.
Yes.
So, what's your secret? Why do you choose each other?
Or even maybe we could start with, where did you meet?
We can go a lot of, we'll get
well,
there
we can
soon,
go in a lot of directions.
But let's start with right now. Why do you choose each other right now?
In this moment or at first? You're talking about in this moment.
Yeah. Like, why are you together? Because I think it's, you know, to be together, you keep choosing each other. You don't just say, I do, and then you're set.
Well, I think we're each other's clowns. Like, we just make each other laugh. What else?
Oh, it's definitely a part of it.
Yeah, I mean, a big part of it.
The laughter, you know, the attraction, the respect. Yeah, I mean, those are definitely three of the biggies, right? I mean, if you don't, I think if you don't laugh with your partner, that's going to be tough to have it be sustainable. I don't think if you're attracted any longer to your partner, I think that's going to be tough to make it sustainable. And if you don't respect your partner, I mean, and you can define that however and in whatever way you want. But I think if you don't respect your partner, it's going to make it really tough for that to last too. So yeah, I mean, those are certainly three of the biggies for sure.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay, Devin.
So how did you two meet? How did you kids meet? Because, well, and how many years has it been that you've been married and been together?
I'll let you tell that.
Well, we've been married 23 years. We've been together about 24. It happened kind of quickly. Like, we met and married in like 8 months. So it just kind of like happened quick.
And how did we meet?
You tell.
Oh, I'm telling that part of the story. So we both worked in a loft office building in Chicago, and we both worked on the same floor of that loft office building in Chicago. And to get to my office, I would have to walk by their office, because at that time, Lena had worked for an orthodontist. And so it was an orthodontics office. I had to walk past that to get to the back hallway to get to my office. And so they had a glass door on their office. Now, if they didn't have a glass door on their office, we probably would have never met, right? So they had a glass door. One of those, you know, you can see through and you can see what's going on. And on occasion, when I would walk by on the way to my office, I would see her working. And so, you know, I was like, "Ooh, who's that? You know, she's super cute and maybe I'll go say hello." So I stopped in one day to get an orthodontic checkup because I had braces when I was a kid. So I just wanted to see if, you know, if my teeth were still doing okay. So I went in and made an appointment, and of course she wasn't working. So I was like, you know,
my day off.
That was her day off. And so I told one of her coworkers, I was like, you know, I work down the hall. Who's the dark hair girl that works here? You know, she's super cute. You know, why don't you come home, just have her come by and say hello someday. And so I got braces again, just so I could keep coming back into the office. And every time I went back for more tightening and straightening and tightening and straightening, she wasn't working.
No, he didn't.
But no. So, okay, fine. So I didn't get braces, but I did go in and I did plant the, you know, the seed of, hey, I like this girl, send her over. And sure enough,
we got your mail.
Yeah. You can tell that part.
Yeah. So we got his mail by accident. And my coworkers were like, just go over there.
Go take him the mail.
Yeah. And it was weird because in my head, I said to myself sarcastically, like, oh, watch, this will end up being my husband. And I never even thought I was ever going to get married. Like, I just didn't, you know, and he ended up being my husband. Yeah. So it's kind of weird.
So you have to be careful with that sarcasm.
I know.
So that's a short version of the story. But yes, basically they got our mail. She brought it over. I was on the phone, distracted, trying to get off the phone while she was standing there with the mail. And she waited and waited and waited and waited. And yeah, finally I was able to free up and talk to her and invited her out to lunch. And we met and married in 8 months.
Was there a moment? When did you know? Hmm. Like, was there a moment? Like, because it's a short courtship for many people.
Obviously, Lena knew as soon as she got your mail.
True.
When did you know, Steve?
Right. It was like an incantation. But was there a moment that like
I didn't know who he was.
Right. Just some random guy at the office.
Who was going to be your husband.
She just fell in love with my name on the envelope. Love that guy. I think it was pretty early on. I mean, certainly within the first few dates where I was like, yeah, I want to see you again. And, yeah, I mean, it was pretty early on that I knew that I at least wanted to see how far, you know, we could potentially go as a couple. And yeah, I mean, I'd say it was literally within the first few dates, I knew pretty quickly.
Yeah, oh, you did?
A boyfriend, and you told me to get rid of him.
She did. She had a boyfriend. She had a long distance boyfriend. I think I found this out like maybe after the second or third date or something like that. Because at one point.
No. It was right off the bat.
Oh, she told me right off the bat. Yeah. See, now you can tell that part of the story because I don't remember that whole thing. Tell me more. I know you had a boyfriend because I made you break up with him, but what happened? Tell me more.
Yeah, because he, when we finally did meet with the mail, he said, so do you have a boyfriend? And I said, yeah. And he grabbed my hand and he said, well, doesn't look too serious.
Because she didn't have a ring. Yes.
So
that was the Steve's playa move.
Steve's playa, exactly. No, you want to know the real playa move?
Yeah, no, totally. Let's hear it.
So the real playa move was, I don't know, maybe after the fourth or fifth date.
No, this is the first date.
I didn't make you get on the phone with him and break up with me standing there until at least after the fourth or fifth date.
That's
true. That's class.
But there was another good move that he did.
Yeah.
On our first date, you know, it was lunch, and you know, I took it kind of easy peasy, and
it's just lunch.
Just lunch. And so he was like, "Oh, so you know, you want to hang out again?" And blah blah. And I was like, "Well, I do have a boyfriend, so you know, maybe we can, you know, hang out, be friends, or whatever." And he said, "Well, I don't look at you the way I would look at a friend, as just a friend." He said, "I look at you in a different light. So I have enough friends. I'm looking at you in a romantic way." So he just like threw that out on the table, and I was like, "Oh, okay."
So that's that's bold.
Yeah. True, Mr. Bold, exactly.
Right, yeah. That's totally a bold move. So was there a moment? So obviously, you're kind of going along with it. "Hey, break up with my boyfriend," some random guy says. Okay. So at some point, you're going along with it, but at some point, you must have like, "Okay, this is the guy. This is my guy," and there you go. Was there a moment for you, or was this just like it just kept feeling easier and easier?
Yeah, I mean, it did keep feeling easier. I mean, it was kind of easy to not think about the other guy too, because it was long distance relationship and all that other stuff. And but yeah, the more that we spent time together, I kept thinking to myself like, "Wow, this is, you know, this is great. I like talking to him, and you know, he's funny, and we have very different interests. So, but you know, we just kind of teach each other about these things. And I think that's part of the magic too, like with us, is that you know, we're very different, but we're also very the same. And you know, when one of us learns about something, then we just kind of teach the other one about it. And since we're both kind of goofy, then it just, you know, we try to do it in a humorous way. But yeah, to get back to that, I wanted to spend more time with him, and I thought, well, the other guy's gonna have to go.
So yeah. For those watching and listening at home, steal a person's mail and be snarky.
Be direct.
And be direct.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Well, I think the be direct thing is actually one of those things that's incredibly important, especially like as we get older. I think the importance of it is simply from the standpoint of, do you want to spend the time developing a relationship when you have a particular motive, right? Here's my romantic interest. Do I want to switch gears and be a pal? Do I want that? Or am I better off sending it out like, day one, moment one, I'm interested in you, not as a pal? So, I mean, I personally think that's the only way to go, because otherwise you create a dynamic where it's conceivable that Lena could have just said, "Well, but I'm in a relationship. I have this guy who is in, you know, Singapore or something, who's far, far away." And so I think it was really important, because even if it hadn't gone Steve's way, the cards are on the table. He knows exactly what's up, and so does she, which I think is just an important thing for viewers to just understand about getting what it is that they want from a relationship.
And you were not midlife crazy at that point. You were what, late 20s?
Yeah. I met him when I was, I had just turned 25. Yeah, I think, or 26 maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. So how is love better now?
That's a good question. I mean, I would say obviously we know each other a lot better, right? So the likes and the dislikes and the, you know, the things that are non-negotiable are pretty clear. And you got to learn a lot of what those things are, right? So so understanding what those things are, I mean, definitely makes a big difference, because the reality is we probably spent as much time bickering and quarreling and trying to figure each other out during the early years, you know, than we did probably, you know, loving on each other, right? And so, but we both knew it was worth figuring that out and getting through it and trying to understand what each other really wants. And I think now we're just much more clear on what the other really wants. And I would also add that I think that when you're younger, it's a lot easier to be very selfish, and learning how to be selfless is something that is very rare for someone in their 20s, 30s, probably even, you know, their 40s. And, you know, it's not until we're both now 50 that I think we're starting to get even more clear on what that looks like to be selfless.
Yeah, because sometimes you just have to, like, fill in when they can't, you know, because sometimes life will throw whatever at you. And, you know, you just got to, you know, if for whatever the reason, I mean, they can't present their best self, I guess. I mean, you got to kind of fill in and do it, even if you're mad at them, even if they're the one that caused whatever, you know, you just have to fill in.
Yeah, you have to be nice and kind and loving, even when you want to kill them.
Yes.
I speak to a fair amount of people who, especially people that are sort of under 30, and they frequently kind of describe it that they're looking for a 50-50 relationship. And when I press them about it, it's sort of like, well, I want to move forward 50%, and I want them to meet me halfway. And so my response to that is that doesn't really exist, because some days I'm giving 100% and some days I've gotten giving 2%, because that's what's in the gas tank on any given day. How do you guys feel about that idea?
Yeah, I can speak for myself, and also just Morgana going back to kind of the original point of discussion here in terms of you're looking at people who have achieved a certain level and then they're no longer with that person. I really think that whether it's 100, Devin, or 2% or whatever it is, I mean, at the end of the day, for me, it really just comes down to personal responsibility, right? And recognizing that whatever it mm-hmm. is that's going on that's bothering her, it is truly because of something that I did. Mm-hmm. And that's 100% zero, right? And so to me, that's the hardest thing is recognizing that it is not 50-50. I mean, it is 100% and zero. And that's a huge delineation between sort of the relationships that work and survive and have longevity versus relationships where just neither party is willing to take personal responsibility for their role, especially when it comes to change and modification, right? Because so often they want the other person to do what they need and change for them. And that's just not a winning formula. Anything to add to that?
I was just thinking it's kind of like day by day that, like, you know, sometimes you're giving more, sometimes I'm giving more, and, you know, we just try to fill in, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got good days and bad days and days of high energy and days of low energy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
And triggers.
Oh, triggers, yeah, for sure.
You know? And, you know, we got kids and we have different triggers when it comes to the kids, and, you know, that throws another dynamic in the mix, of course. But, you know, there are, and that's, I think that's a big part of having a mature relationship as well, is just recognizing without it even happening what the triggers are and when a trigger is going to take place, and doing whatever you can to solve for that before that really escalates.
Mm-hmm. Or make it better if it happens, not, you know, like, don't keep poking the bear, or, you know.
So can you give me an example of how you prepare for a trigger ahead of time?
So I know that like one of Lena's big triggers is feeling like she's not being heard, not being listened to. So it's just, you know, it's the way it is, right? And everybody has their own triggers. And so for her, you know, I know when I'm not paying enough attention or I'm distracted by my phone or whatever it is, or the computer or, you know, something, and I'm not fully focused, I know that, you know, she's got a pretty decent fuse, but at some point it's like, you know, I want to be heard and you need to listen to me. And then the same thing, obviously, with the kids, you know, it's just, she's got a pretty long fuse, but after a while it's like, you know, if I ask you to do something 12 times, I know something's going to come an exploding. So I got to try to get ahead of that. When, you know, when I hear, for instance, I hear her asking one of the boys to do something for the fifth time, like typically by the fifth time it's over. So I, yeah, as an example.
That's excellent.
Yeah. And then, you know, like just doing things that, as simple as, well, you know, he doesn't like that, so don't do it. Or, you know, he definitely likes that, so try to do it. So I don't know, just stuff like that. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. It sounds simple, but it really isn't that simple in practice.
Yeah. I gave a friend a piece of advice not too long ago, which I think is another secret of the success. And there's a bunch of them that I am now aware of that I think work really well. And a lot of that's, you know, because of Lena and her teaching me a lot of, you know, what works for her. But you know, one of the things that I think most couples forget about and have to be conscientious of is going the other person's pace. And being willing to, as I told my friend, you know, go her pace. In other words, like he really likes to hike and he's fast and he likes to go and just, you know, it's not as an enjoyable experience for his wife because she doesn't move at his speed. So, you know, even just something as simple as going her pace in that regard. Like I know when we walk, Lena walks much faster than I do. And we walk the dogs every night and I like to just kind of stroll. You know, and so just like, and I know, and that's literal and that's figurative, right? In both ways. But, you know, going your partner's pace in whatever that means is definitely something that, again, moves you out of the land of being selfish and into the land of being very selfless.
So that's an interesting analogy, just from the standpoint from what I know of you through sort of the personal development field, which tends to be very high pressure, I would say. I think very demanding. I think probably very time consuming as an entrepreneur and travel. I mean, obviously, we're at a place right now where that's, you know, probably not as happening as much. But I'm assuming just because I've, you know, married to my lovely wife, that I know the kinds of demands that she experiences when she's sort of in the thick of it. And Lena is a mortician. Is that the correct?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many titles.
Right. But I guess
what do you like to go by?
Oh, I don't mind mortician, but it's, you know, embalmer or funeral director. Like,
gotcha. Okay.
I just think that is so cool. You're the first person who does what you do that I've met.
Oh, that's funny. A lot of people tell me that. They're like, oh, you're the only one I know. So,
yeah.
Right. So I guess where I was going at, without trying to be too glib, is that Steve's sort of like this high pass, high speed thing. And then Lena's working with the dead, which is sort of.
That's really funny. That's funny.
So, I mean,
what's your question, Devin?
I just sometimes like to hear myself talk. No, really, what I wanted to hear from Lena is like, it was there an adjustment period for you when Steve's kind of like, I've got my foot in a bunch of different pies here, and you've got this sort of, it's just, I think, a different vibe. Well, and was there an adjustment for you during that?
No, I mean, like when we met, you know, we just had different things going on. Like I was super busy when I met him. He didn't know if I was going to have time for him. Cause I was working, I was going to school. I was volunteering. I was a single mom. I mean, I just had like so many things going on. But then, you know, slowly, you know, we just, we're always both kind of busy in our own ways. So, and I wasn't always doing what I'm doing now. I've been in this industry like, you know, roughly 10 years, you know, I've, you know, done some other stuff too. So I feel like his pace and my pace, they're both kind of like busy. We're both kind of busy bees. So I guess the...
compatible.
Yeah.
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 Well, you just listed a bunch of reasons that I hear all the time given as reasons why a woman's not going to meet somebody. Not just because she tells herself that, but friends and even teachers and coaches will say, oh, you don't have time for love and you've got the kid and you've got all this other stuff. And I love that you just showed that for the BS it is.
Yeah. And I mean, it really just kind of, like I said, it just kind of happened in a way that I wasn't expecting. Like I kind of thought like, well, I don't know if like marriage is ever going to happen for me. You know, I just thought maybe I'd just be like a serial monogamist or something. And, cause I, you know, I just feel like I've always just had so much going on, so much stuff that I want to do and so many interests that I didn't know. And I mean, I think that it can happen like for anybody at any point.
Well, and I have a hunch that somebody who didn't have stuff going on mm-hmm. would not be a good match for Steve.
Yeah, for sure. That's a great point. And, you know, the funny thing is, and you're talking about what keeps it going and so on. And I think that's a really important point is you have to have a lot of your own stuff going on so that you're not, I mean, it's good to be needy and want to spend time with your significant other, of course. But you also need to have your own stuff going on so that you remain interesting, right? And so she wasn't an entrepreneur, didn't matter. The things that she knew about were things that I had never, you know, were all new to me. It was like, you know, she was teacher, I was student. I mean, even like simple things that you guys probably take for granted and others probably take for granted in terms of like food, right? Like when we met, she was like, do you want to go out for Ethiopian food? And this was like 1997, something like that, right?
Probably 96.
So 96, right? Wherever it was. So not terribly far removed from the famine in Africa, you know, feed the world, you know, all that fun stuff, right?
They have really big portions for a starving country, don't you think?
So she's like, do you want to go and have Ethiopian food? And I was like, I didn't think they had food. like I had never eaten Ethiopian food, right? You know, like as an example, I mean, even Indian food and Thai food and all of these things that she just took for granted and she loved, and you know, now all of the, I love all those foods too, but you know, for me it was just like it's a whole new world, you know, and I wasn't even familiar with. So there's different ways that you can educate and be interesting to your partner, and you know, you continually learn and evolve and try new things. And that's part of what I think keeps it exciting and fresh too.
Something that I think is different in your relationship and you, Steve, than a lot of other people in our industry that I have known over the years is that, very often I've seen the guru is actually very insecure and needs all the attention. Mm. And so the spouse becomes the support, but the star has to be the star. And I'm not getting that between the two of you. It feels very equal.
Yeah. I mean, you can speak for yourself on this one, but I know she was even bashful about doing this. And do I even want to, you know, so I don't know. Do you want to speak to that at all about star not star?
I mean, he's definitely more of the introvert. I mean, the extrovert between the two of us, I'm definitely more introverted. And, you know, I like that he's more extroverted. I do. But I don't know if you ever saw Chris Rock do Tambourine, where he does the analogy of sometimes you have to be the one playing the tambourine for your, like, for your spouse. And I feel like, you know, when I need to do something, he's like totally encouraging me to come out of my shell, and he's playing the tambourine. So, I mean, it's,
yeah. So we take these nightly walks with our dogs, and it's about a mile and a quarter or something like that. It's a stroll around the neighborhood. It takes us, I don't know, 35, 40 minutes or something of that nature. Actually last night, even, I was saying to you that, you know, it's just like part of the reason why I want her to do more of these sort of things and encourage her to do more of these sort of things is because I feel like I, and those who know her best, but certainly, you know, I get the benefit of all of that knowledge and all of that wisdom and so on that is, it could be so valuable to so many. And so, yeah, I mean, like the funeral home is a perfect example here. We're actually in the process of opening a funeral home together. I mean, it's Bravo Family Mortuary. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's for sure your thing with my support. And I personally think, you know, she has the opportunity to really reinvent that industry in some ways and take the lead on moving that industry forward, and just the wisdom and the way she cares about people. And, you know, it's just not, it's not a business for her. It's a calling for her. And so I'm happy to applaud that, you know, and put the spotlight on her, because I think the world would really benefit from everything that she has within that, you know, it just hasn't really had an opportunity to share.
Thank you. Oh. But I want him to shine too at the funeral home, because I really think that he would be such a good funeral director. So I've been, yeah, you know, telling him, because he's very nurturing, and he's certainly much louder than I am, so he could like direct funerals. And
these things are true.
Yeah, come out of your shell, Steve.
Yeah, I know. I'm working on it. I'm getting there.
No, I think he'd be super with it. Mm-hmm. But we'll see.
So I'm curious, because you have two kids, right?
So we have two together, and then Lena had a son when she was quite young, and so we have three boys, one that's quite older now, and then a junior in high school and an eighth grader.
So have you thought about how what the future brings? Because I think when we start talking about being of a certain vintage, a lot of it is what happens when the kids move on, you know, those kinds of things, when they go start doing their own thing. Like my kids now, she's a senior, you know, at a university, and it's wonderful, and I'm super proud of her, but she's not here.
But he's also dying inside, missing her.
Well, yeah, that's a separate thing, because, you know. So have you guys thought about those kinds of things? And I guess you have one son who's out of the home?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
So have we thought about those things?
You know, I mean, we talk about, you know, sometimes we'll come up with things like, oh, we're going to get a Airstream and just, you know, like go everywhere. And
then I realize that I would probably have to go to the bathroom in a metal container somewhere. And that is unappealing, but that's probably
yes. And what if it's really hot? I hate heat. So
what else have we thought about for the next phase?
I don't know. The thing is, like, sometimes we daydream about not working, and then we realize that we love working. We just both really like working. I mean, we definitely like taking breaks, and when we can be alone, it's great. But, you know, I don't know. So yeah. Maybe our plan is not to have a plan. We'll see what happens. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. It's certainly appealing to look at what's possible when we have just ourselves to think about, right? But at the same token, we're not trying to rush anybody out of the house. We like their company, and
yeah,
it's just maybe more more vacations and these sort of things together, perhaps either just alone or together when they don't have the obligations of school. And so, yeah, but the funeral home will make things interesting. It's just so hard right now. It is to, with this sort of tunnel vision on getting the funeral home opened. Mm-hmm. It's just so hard to see past what life could look like when that's up and operating. Because that's gonna be a pretty big. It's gonna be a big requirement.
Yeah.
Of time and energy and resources, and so it's just so hard to see past that in this moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's an industry that never sleeps. So.
Or always sleeps. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist.
No, well, I discovered last year when my father died that my uncle owns a funeral home in Ohio. And my stepmother's brother. And I have just so much gratitude and respect for just the kindness and delicacy of helping somebody make choices at that moment, you know, is real. It takes a lot.
Sorry to hear about your dad.
Thank you. It's mixed because he had Alzheimer's, so there was kind of the joy of him being released, and then there's the loss.
Yeah,
it's something, you know, we all go through, which is why what you do is so important, what the two of you are creating.
Yeah, we complement each other nicely. I mean, when you think about the work that I do in terms of helping people really get more clear on what puts fire in their soul and really making the most of this time while they're alive, and then pass them off to the other side of the business, and you know.
Now, if one of your kids just becomes an OBGYN, you're like a one-stop shop for everything.
Got the whole thing covered.
Yeah.
So, is this the first time you guys are going to be working together, sort of like on a professional level, like in terms of like a specific project?
It is, right?
Am I missing anything? Yeah. No. Yeah. Oh, well, we used to DJ together.
We did DJ weddings together. That was fun for a while, right?
That was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Did that for about a year or so. I had DJed in clubs and done other things, and so that was fun. We did do that together.
Yeah, that was fun.
I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, formal type of business like this, for sure the first thing. I haven't had a retail sort of job and I don't even know how long, like having to be at a certain place at a certain time sort of thing and having hours of operation. Yeah, I mean, it's been decades.
Yeah, it's when you were in the building that we met in. That's probably the last time, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but even then there was flexibility. Like, people weren't counting on us to, like, it's not like we had posted hours on a sign or whatever, right? So yeah. It'll be interesting. And then that, you know, there's that whole dynamic too, right? Of having to be there, which is 15, 20 minutes or so, 15 minutes from our house, and the kids being here and then our having to be there and the funerals. And so that'll just bring another dynamic to the table.
Do you have any practices to just kind of align yourselves with each other or connect or, you know, light the spark between you? Or is it just the kidding and laughing? And what if we were to like take your secret sauce and package it to the masses, what would you put into that?
Well, I like the love styles thing because, you know, we try to, you know, respect each other's love styles.
Love styles?
Yeah. What are your love languages?
Yeah. So
mine, what are your love languages?
Mine is quality time and his is the affection one. And so, you know, that's one thing that we definitely try to keep sacred, you know, like try to get that time in and, you know, that, but also, we have a nightly dog walk and, that's our way to, we just always have good talks with the dog walk. And even if we're, like cranky with each other, then, you know, it's a chance to try to make up. Mm-hmm. But we've had silent dog walks before too, when we're really mad at each other. There's been walks when like, we're just like so mad that, it's just a long, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Do the dogs notice?
No, they don't care.
They're too busy sniffing the newspapers and trying to figure out what the daily news is.
Daily dog pee.
I mean, I'd say, you know, part of it too is just carving out, like, you know, like Lena said, time for each other. Trying to get the occasional couple of days away, have mom or someone else come in to watch them. Try to do the date nights and try to be consistent about that. And even doing date nights with the kids, where she'll get one kid and I'll get the other kid, and we'll just do things separately. But, you know, really, I think that the and then there's always the, which is, you know, that's a whole different story, but, you know, that's you know,
for listeners at home, I think Steve smokes weed.
No, I'm not just, that was no I had an itch just I was
okay
itching my nose. Just the nose itch.
But okay. But no, I think that the fact that there are a lot of couples who do more things apart than they do together. And we do much more together than we do apart. We still do things apart. I mean, we're not always together and doing things, but I would say that we do more things together than we do solo. And you just have to, put in that time.
Well, I think you mentioned something earlier in our conversation about just having personal responsibility. And so the way I would look at that, the way I sort of consider it in my own relationship with this, with my lovely wife, is that there's a commitment. In other words, my personal responsibility is to attempt, I fail quite regularly, but to attempt to maintain the vows of what the relationship is supposed to be about. To, you know, I mean, real simple, basic stuff, to love, honor, and cherish, and to show up when things kind of suck. You know, be mindful of her love language and to show up for her and to realize that the success of the relationship frequently comes from my willingness to be selfless.
Yeah,
and that's, agreed. I think, a real significant part of what sort of the day-to-day is, because the weddings, as you know, we get married a lot.
Well, we used to anyway.
We used to, but that will come back. Like, you know, the world will heal itself, and at some point in time, we'll get back to normal. And so that's the fun, ridiculous photo op of what our relationship is. But really, a lot of it's just like, you know, she's testing camera equipment, and it's like, oh, yeah, no, I have to take out the garbage. You know, I'm wheeling the garbage down the driveway. And that's because that's part of the deal. Do you know what I mean? Part of the deal is all the mundane stuff that you just have to kind of keep feeding into the relationship to make it, to allow it to thrive.
Yeah. And I will say, just in that particular conversation, that I think that's where when you try to have your partner do things that they're just not naturally inclined to do, it can cause more friction and concern, right? It's, you can want till the cows come home for your partner to be, you know, a neat freak. Like, I'm more of a neat freak than Lena is.
Sure is.
I'm not going to change how she is. She's not, you know, dirty, but I just, like, I grew up in a house, you know, that had roaches and mice and that kind of crap. And it's just like, I just freak out at the thought of, you know, having bugs in a dirty house and right, sugar and things that attract ants and, you know, all that stuff. It's just, it's an OCD or whatever. And, you know, I've just recognized that we're going to be on different levels. And if I get frustrated that she's not cleaning, what I need to do is I just need to clean and stop being frustrated that she's not cleaning.
Yeah.
And she does clean. I'm not trying to say that, you know, again, I'm not saying there's filth and squalor and all that. I just happen to be like, OCD about it.
You're just the right? Tony Randall in the relationship.
Exactly. Right. And at some point you can, do you value the relationship more than you value the task? And ultimately that's the question.
That's beautiful. I think we are just about out of time.
Yeah. We got about 90 seconds.
Like I could keep talking with you for ages. So
where can people track you down?
Now that you've sold off all of your podcasts and magazines, no.
Yeah, don't.
But if, but if somebody drops dead in the San Diego area, they go to Bravo
Family Mortuary. Yes.
Family Mortuary.
It's in the works right now. Like still doing construction and things like that. But
yes. Don't go there alive a little longer.
Yeah, just stay alive a little longer.
Stay alive longer.
Yes, please.
A little longer. We're almost ready for you.
And for all of you who are still alive, Devin and I will be back next week, Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time with more Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Go join our family at crazysexymidlifelove.com. Download Devin's ebook and we will see you in a week. Mwah.
Mwah.
Thank you for listening to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Please sign up to join our free love family at crazysexymidlifelove.com. To get alerts to live shows, call in and ask questions, or just listen in. And ladies, don't forget to download Devin's free ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. Also available at crazysexymidlifelove.com.